When the time changes, when the time changes, this is one of the two Sundays each year when the time changes. It might one of these days be the last legislated seasonal change, but right now it's bogged down in Congress. There is, of course, online and otherwise much discussion about daylight savings time. Those in favor of it say it is more efficient. Work should begin when the light is on. That it's economic, that it may save power. And certainly it is the case that it might give us more recreational hours after work. It was thought that it would help farmers, but for the most part, farmers are against it because they say, well, the cows don't have clocks. And the dew dries when it does. And someone estimated that we kill 30,000 more deer by driving an hour early in the light that is unexpected. And you may know from personal experience that our sleep rhythms are delicate things. Spring forward, fall back is kind of a history lesson in itself. And when we think of history, we look back at the last 6 weeks and our summary of our history. We began talking about the Reformation. New knowledge of the Bible, now printed and available, gave increased understanding. We talked about Calvin and Knox and being saved by faith and not works. We saw how our understanding of the sacraments and church organization and the notion of priesthood of all believers came to light. New knowledge of Scripture let us know that the time had changed, and we, the church, changed with it. Long after slavery ended, people of color were disadvantaged. Separate but equal was never equal. Healthcare was not equal, neither was education or housing or opportunity in general. It was Presbyterians here and across the country who worked in segregation in schools and the workplace and the voting booth. Both our national constitution and our sense of justice awakened us to the fact that the time had changed, and we changed with it. From biblical times, the role of women had been limited by our traditional view from the Garden of Eden and its implications. This patriarchal understanding of society denied women an education, a vocation, a voice. Yet the day came when the ability of the individual and the needs of society and of the church opened our minds to the mothers and sisters and daughters and our need for them to have the right for full fulfillment, using their gifts and interests as they are led. They spoke and made clear that the time had changed, and we changed with it. Reformation, integration, liberation, and when the time changes, we change with it. Let me say a word about inclusion. The Apostle Paul had a life-changing experience on the road to Damascus, and after a period of time of reflection, he became the apostle to the Gentiles. He traveled widely around the Mediterranean. With reference to the Messiah, he made clear that Jesus had come and showed us God's way. You can read about it in Acts chapter 17. He made his case, and some believed, and some who believed were Gentiles, at that point excluded. Paul spent his Sabbath days arguing that the Scripture made it clear that Jesus came to suffer and die to offer new life to everybody. That was good news for most, but for some, they were jealous or threatened, or this seemed counter to the knowledge they had at the time. They even said in complaint about Paul that he's turned the world upside down. But this was another of those occasions that the time was changing, and some recognized its significance, and others did not, at least yet. The term Gentile meant those who were excluded. That forces us to ask in our day and time, who might we be excluding today from church families? Yes, sometimes, sadly, sometimes in our own families, despite a shared belief in Jesus. There were a couple about my age. They joined our church in the Atlanta area. He had serious heart problems, and we prayed for him. Good people, fun to be with, 3 children. When their son announced that he was gay, that was a shock. When he asked if he could bring his partner to Thanksgiving meal, they said no. And the son took his life. And the heart of the father for whom we had prayed was broken. She was the mother of 4 and very devout. Indeed, she left my church at one point and decided to go to another more conservative, and she decided to homeschool her children. I kept up with her because her oldest was in Boy Scouts. And she came to me one day in tears because after all her efforts, he declared to the family that he was gay. Yet despite the tears, her love for him, though she did not understand fully, was sufficient that she embraced him, and the family went on, seeking as a group to understand more about each other. Sarah Cunningham, 2 sons, 1 gay. On a Saturday in 2015, she made a homemade button with the words "Free Mom Hugs" and pinned it on her sundress. She went to a pride parade. And whenever she made eye contact with somebody, she invited them over for a hug. The first who came was a pretty girl. She embraced, Sarah says, and the girl whispered in my ear, "It has been 4 years since I got a hug from my mom." The struggle of parents and children over this and personal gender identity can be agonizing. These are issues of orientation and reorientation that arise in society and among our own children. And our response must always be love as we become better informed for their sake and for our own. In my own experience in life and in ministry, I have walked with many people who seem to be other because of nature, born a certain way. It was innate to them, as natural to them as anyone else. For others, sexual orientation was perhaps a matter of confusion or lack of nurture. I always suggested professional counseling, a kind of aid in self-examination, therapy good for individuals and families alike, where it can lead to revelation and certainly help to maintain relationships. I know a father who sat each of his children down in time and said, "Make a good decision." It was his way of saying, "Be sure that your hormones are in harmony with your best judgment, your faith, and your future. You know that each of us is an individual, each with our own DNA, our biochemistry, our family upbringing, a series of social environments and personal experiences which influence our develop as we grow. And if we are blessed, we are surrounded by people who grow with us, give us guidance and feedback and encouragement, and most of all, love. Like a home and a family, the church gives guidance and encouragement to children, all our children of every age. Through scripture, fellowship, and example, the church helps in our formation. But in the end, what matters most is that we express the love of God through our actions as the church. After all the lessons and sermons and casserole suppers and Christmas concerts and Easter sunrises and all the rest, We each need to know that God loves us even when we struggle together and sometimes find it hard to understand. Yet in that effort to honor each individual, we are partners, learning with and from each other, and all the while loving each other. We as a congregation have a long and affirming history summarized in our aspirations to love first, love all. Thus, we must, like Paul, seek the salvation of all God's children by opening wide our doors and our hearts, particularly on a day like this. We know inside us the time has changed.